That's why. We're turning our attention right now to a fascinating Gemara. Over the course of Gimel Beis, the Gemara has a long string of episodes, snippets of conversation where language mattered, coming off of the sugya of Lishna Malia. So before Chanukah, we had a chance to see the first two episodes, the two different Trei Talmidei episodes, two different episodes with the two Talmidim. One was the two Talmidim of Rav, the Masankin Gemara, and the second was the two Talmidim of either Hillel or Rabbi Yehuda, about the Botzrim B'Tahara, Moskin B'Tahara, B'Tumma. And before Chanukah, before we had turned our attention to the Chanukah sugyas, we had begun to take a peek at the third episode. Let's take a look. And the very last thing we spoke about before Chanukah, about this Gemara, over the course of Chanukah, you fellows were kind enough to give me a very touching gift, a Teis Rosh. The inscription was very, very special. And Mamish, I told you I was hoping to use the Teis Rosh, and we'll see, here's this new manuscript, like the Mesillas Yesharim, Bar of Avram Shoshana, from that same Baron Ginsburg collection. And say, we'll see what we find. So Mamish, on the line we left off with, the Teis Rosh has what to say. Because the Gemara says, Hanot Tlas Kahan, you have these three Kohanim, they're in the Beis HaMikdash, or maybe they're outside the Beis HaMikdash, but they're discussing, Rashi says, they're discussing the amount of Lacha Panim that they got. Every Friday, the Mikdash bakers would bake a set of 12 loaves, 12 loaves of Lacha Panim. Every Friday, the next day on Shabbos, they'll put those loaves on and they'll come off the following Shabbos. Every Shabbos, they take off the old and put on the new. Lech HaPanim sit on the Shulchan inside the Heichal for a week and they come off on Shabbos, the following Shabbos, and they're divided amongst the Kohanim. Shabbos was the day that the Kohanim were divided into 24 groups, 24 mishmaros, and subdivide within that. But every week, a different mishmar would come on duty. So when they would take Lech HaPanim off, they would divide Lech HaPanim between the mishmar HaNichnas and the mishmar HaYotze. Between the mishmar that just finished its week and the mishmar that's about to begin its week. So the Kohanim are sitting around discussing how much they got of Lech HaPanim, because they had to be divided among many, many Kohanim. So one says, Higiani Kippul. Higiani is Higia Osi. What reached me was a Kippul, the size of a bean. Another one says, Higiani Kazayis. I got a piece of size of a Kazayis. And then a third one said, Higiani Kiznav Halata. I got a piece the size of a lizard's tail. Zanav is a tail. Zanav Halata. I got he was disparaging what he got. That's how you refer to Lechem Kodesh, Mamish. Consider for a moment, Rabosa. Consider for a moment. We've all seen pictures. Some of you may have gone to Mechon HaMikdash. Imagine for a moment, visualize, you're actually walking into Beis HaMikdash. You're actually seeing the Mizbeach towering above. With the smoke billowing off, the Kohanim rushing around, washing our hands and feet from the kiyar, hey on to the mizbech, we had discussed on the daf beis and beis. Hey on to the mizbech to bring karbanos. Imagine you're in Beis HaMikdash. An otherworldly experience. Imagine you're a kohen, you can actually enter into the heichal, into the building, inside. The mizbech haketoros is there, the menorah is there, and the shulchan is there. Mamish, holy bread, came off of that shulchan. Miraculous bread. The Navi describes, it was lachem cham ki yom hilakha. They baked it on a Friday, they eat it 8 days later, the next Shabbos, not the next day. They bake it on a Friday, put it on the shulchan the next day on Shabbos, it comes off a week later. 8 days later, not only was it not hard as a rock and moldy, it was warm and fresh. Mamish, miracle bread. And this, and they give it, every coin is hoping to get a bit. And this one coin says, hey, I got a lizard's tail of lacha panim. They said, that's how you talk about lacha panim? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And that's the connection to this sugya of Lishna Malia. This is a way to speak. And the way one speaks is sometimes a window into what's going on inside. So they said, Badku Acharav. They had to look into his background. How could it be? How could it be that a Kohen would speak like that? About Lecha Panim. So Badku Acharav, they look into his background. Umatzu bo shemetz psul. And they discovered shmutz. They discovered shemetz psul. Some sort of stain that disqualified him from being a Kohen, disqualified him from serving as a Kohen Beis HaMikdash. They said, I'm sorry, look, because he had been operating as a Kohen Beis HaMikdash for who knows how many years, but after the story, after the way he spoke so disparaging about the Lecha Panim, they did a bedikah and they discovered he's actually not kosher. The Gemara says, really? Really? How could that be? How could it be he was already operating as a Kohen, and then they did a bedikah and discovered that he had some sort of psul. I vatanan, ein bodkim mezbech ulamala. But the Mishnah tells us that you don't, when you want to check into a Kohen to see if it's a kosher Kohen, you only work your way back until you find a Kohen who had served in Beis HaMikdash. Ein bodkim mezbech ulamala, you don't check above, you're working right up the family tree, you don't go any higher than the Mizbeach. You find that his grandfather what did Avodah Mizbeach Beis HaMikdash, we're done. Why? Because the Beis Din Shal Kohanim, it was the Beis Din in Beis HaMikdash, would investigate Kohanim before allowing them to do Avodah for the first time. So he had already been checked out. He had been checked out. You know the famous story of Avnezer? And the famous story of Avnezer. Avnezer was a Goyin HaGoyinim. He was a Goyin HaGoyinim in Gemara, in Lamdas, in Halach HaMaisa, and Achsiyah Sharabah. Two for one. He was the first Sachet Shavah Rebbe. His son, the second Sachet Shavah Rebbe, was the Shem Yishmuel. The Shem Yishmuel is famous to us as a Baal Chassidus. Now, Avnezer is typically famous to us more for his svarim in the world of Ahalach HaLamdas. Shuvas Avnezer, his Sefer Egle Tal on Amalach HaShabbos. But both were incredibly strong, both father and son, Rav Avram and Rav Shmuel, are both incredibly strong in both areas. And there's a reason why when you learn Shem Yishmuel, there's more of there's a Lamdasha structure to his Chassidus. It's not surprising. Like Ger, Sachachav and Ger are both very strong in the world of Lamdas and Halacha. Both the first Ger Rebbe, the Chiddush Arim, and the first Sachachav Rebbe, Avnezer, are both close Talmidim of, who is their common Rebbe? The Kotzker. They're both Talmidim of the Kotzker. Avnezer ended up marrying the Kotzker's daughter. But before then, he had dated some other Rebbe's daughter. Young Avremel, before he was the Avnezer, he was just Avram of Sachachav, not sure if as a kid it was even from Sachachav. Avremel, he was a young, promising Hasidic Shabacher, and he was read to the daughter of a Rebbe, and he went to have a bishow to meet the girl. Afashetzach, the father gave him a fahar, spoke to him in learning, and young Avremel passed with flying colors. So he comes back a couple months later for a second bishul, and the girl's father broke with the usual tradition and gave him a second bechina. He must have enjoyed talking and learning with him so much the first time. He said, I'll give another fahar. So Avremel once again passes the flying colors, and then he says, and now he says to the girl's father, and now I'd like to give you a fahar. So the fellow's like, what? Where'd you fall from? What does that mean?
So he says, it's really very simple. Avremo, the future of Nezer says. He says, why is it that you, that this boy's going out with your daughter, so why are you giving him a bechina for? Like, what does one have to do with the other? Why would you give a prospective son-in-law for her? He says, the answer is very simple. The Gemara says, La'olam yasi adam bitol talmud chacham. The Gemara recommends you should try to see to it that your daughter marries a talmud chacham. So how are you going to know? You have to give the fellow a faher to know, is he a talmud chacham or not? So Avner said, the truth is, the same Gemara also says, La'olam yisa adam das talmud chacham, that I should seek to marry the daughter of a talmud chacham. He says, really, it should always work. It should always be a two-way faher. You need to give me a faher, and I need to give you a faher. You need to know that you're marrying your daughter to a talmud chacham, and I need to know that the girl's father is a talmud chacham. So why don't we always give, here goes the 12-year-old boy, why don't we always give a faher in both directions? The answer is, because we shalom chazaka. Because you got married somehow, 30 years ago, you got married, so your father-in-law must have given you a faher, which obviously you passed 30 years ago. So we shalom chazaka, 30 years ago, a talmud chacham. We'll assume you're still a talmud chacham, but the boy, he hasn't gotten a faher yet. So that's why the father needs to give him a faher. Oh, says Avinezer. So that's the way it always works. That's why normally the father gives a boy a faher, and that's why it stays in one direction, because the boy is shalom chazaka. He says, but you gave me a faher last time. You're giving me another faher. So that means you don't want a shalom chazaka. You want a shalom chazaka from a couple of weeks, a couple of months ago. I'm certainly not going to shalom chazaka from a couple of decades ago. You want to give me a second faher, I want to give you a second faher. So the father said, you're a very sharp young man, and you're not for my daughter. Apt. Well, to a sharp tongue for my daughter. So the Avinezer ended up marrying the Kutzker's daughter, and the Kutzker, for those who are holding, the Kutzker had the sharpest wit in the East. He had no, Kutzker had plenty, he had no problem handling the young Avremo. The other stories they tell about the Avinezer soon after, as a young married man with a Kutzker, for some other time. But why do I tell you this? Because Avinezer's Ha'ara is really the Gemara's Kasha. And the Gemara is saying, with the Gemara's Kasha, when the Gemara says, V'atanane b'olikim ezbeach l'malo, that's the Gemara's Kasha. Why would you check? What do you mean check again? Didn't we check already? And one of two things. Imam Marshad, either we should assume that the first check was good. The fact that Ebokim is Be'ach Ulamala, so we should assume that why Ebokim is Be'ach? Why is if I'm looking into this Cohen's Yichas, once I discover his grandfather was Oved, Avodah B'Mizbeach, I stop. Because the Beis Din would check the Kohanim before allowing them, before certifying them to serve in Beis HaMikdash. So we have the right to rely on the bedika that was done three generations earlier on this Kohen's grandfather, great-grandfather. And this Kohen himself was Oved Avod in Beis HaMikdash. For the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years have been Oved Avod in Beis HaMikdash. So obviously he had been checked when he started. So either we're saying, why do they have to feel the need to check again? They had checked earlier. They had checked earlier. That's the heart of the kasha. We'll check again. We checked already. So the Gemara says, how are you talking? How could it be that they were bodek and they found a shemitz psul? Where are they rechecking? So the Gemara says, two teretzim, lo teim a shemitz psul, ela eim a shachatz psul. The first teretz says, yeah, it was not shemitz. Now, not that they found some stain of some pre-existing psul, but rather the psul they found was a shachatz. Shachatz is gaiva. They said, you're a bal gaiva. And they looked into it. The way he was speaking, as though he can own the lech apanim, he can put down lech apanim. So they looked and they discovered that there wasn't an isolated incident. They actually had a lot of attitude. He was a bal gaiva in general, and specifically was dismissive of avos hakarbanos. So it's okay. So then you don't belong. That's not something that would have come up on a bedika 20 years ago. But once they noticed he had this pattern, so then they looked into his attitude. The Ibah same, the Gemara says, or shiny hasam diyu dara nafsha. You're right. Normally we rely on the first bedika. Normally we would rely on the first bedika. We wouldn't reach up. But that's normally. I'm looking into this Kohen. So I want to know, does he have kosher yichas? I say, well, his grandfather was Obed Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. And I have no reason to assume anything went awry. So I have to make sure that his mother is not a grusha. Okay. And I work my way back to the grandfather. I say, go, look, done. There's no reason to assume otherwise. There's no reisa, reish, yud, ayin, vav, tav, alef. There's no indication of a problem. But here, he created a reisa about himself. We normally wouldn't recheck twice. What's the terrorist that does? Avnezer was right. There was no reason to assume that anything he had become a non-Talmud Chacham over between the first date and the second date. So there was no reason to recheck him. But here, we don't normally recheck Kohenim. But here there was evidence. The evidence was, how do you talk about Lech HaPanim that way? It must be there's something going on. We don't normally recheck, but if there's evidence, there's a reisa, then you got to recheck. Okay, an important side point, and this is what we had left off with last time, was Machlokas Rashi and Tosas. Rashi and Tosas here argue about which word in the Gemara, which word? Shemetz, very good. And what does Shemetz mean? So Rashi says Shemetz means a problem of his yichus, a chalal. We discussed this last time, what's a chalal? If a Kohen marries a woman whom he is not allowed to marry as a Kohen, and they have children, a Kohen marries a Grusha, a Kohen marries a Zona, a Kohen marries a Chalala, the Pesukim say he's not allowed to marry, and he goes down and marries anyways. He's living in sin with this woman, and then they have children. So the children, if they have a son, let's say, so that son is a Ben Kohen, but he's not a Kohen. His father is a Kohen. But he's halal. He's empty. Halal in modern Hebrew is the outer space. He's a vacuum. He's evacuated from kahuna. He's genetically the son of a Kohen. He's going to have the Kohen gene. If it exists, he's going to have the Kohen gene. Because he is biologically descended from a Kohen. But he doesn't have Kedusha's kahuna. He's not allowed to worship. He's not allowed to do avodah based on mikdash. He's not allowed to duchen. He doesn't take the first aliyah. And so on and so forth. He doesn't do pay. He's a chalal, he's empty of kahuna. So that's what Rashi says. And Tosfos says, no. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, based on a pasuk in Kisisa, that Shemetz refers specifically to Avodah Zarah. And what they discovered was that he had a past. Now he looks all, this coin looks all appropriate. But apparently in his youth, he had been over to Avodah Zarah. He had moonlighted in an idolatrous temple. Pasal kahuna, pasal avodah. That's what Rabbi Chananel said. The last time, almost the last thing we discussed before Hanukkah was the Birkas Avraham as a kasha. How would a bedika? We understand that a prior bedika would have discovered a yichus problem. So for Rashi, we understand the shock of Atariah. But for Tosis, a prior bedika would have found Shemetz psul. A prior bedika would have found Avodah Zarah. That was the Birkas Avraham's kasha. Birkas Avraham from 20 years ago, 20, 30 years ago. So we discussed last time a possible Tarot place, Chanyo. So I opened up a Tosa Rosh, and as I told you, the very last point we discussed, the Tosa Rosh asked the kasha. Birkas Avraham didn't have a Tosa Rosh. He was Mechama, Tosa Rosh's kasha. And as a matter of fact, Tosa Rosh is so taken by this kasha, Lakach Nirik Apirish Rashi Psul Chalos. Tosfos Rashi says, I reject Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel, Shver doesn't fit the Shach V'Tarya, boom! And therefore I accept Rashi against Rabbeinu Chananel. Wow. 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 Now, so that's interesting. Okay, so he suggested last time perhaps a solution. Tosfos Rashi clearly was very bothered by this Kasha, and clearly did not think that there was a solution to this Kasha. He thought that it's proof positive that Rashi is correct. Rabbeinu Chananel must have had some solution. Now, what we discussed last time, perhaps would be a solution. But let's now turn our attention to the Gemara in Yuma. The end of the Gemara Makamis. This is a parallel Gemara. Acharonim put our Gemara and that Gemara. Rishonim and Acharonim pair together our Gemara Pesachim Daf Gimel with the Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Tes Samanav, the very beginning of the fourth parak of Yuma. This is deep, deep into the Kachim Prakim of Yuma. The first seven prakim of Yuma
are all about Avos Yom HaKippurim, all about the Kachim aspects of Yom Kippur. Only the last parak is really dedicated to Halacha L'mayis B'zman HaZeh. So this is in the middle of the Kachim block. So the Gemara has a long braisa. The Gemara is a long Tanur Abanan. The Gemara speaks about Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik, we know Shimon HaTzadik from the beginning of Perek Yavos. He was near the beginning of the Bayesheni period. He was Mishiyore Knesset HaGadolah. He was from the very end of the era of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. Either means he was a member of the Knesset HaGadolah, perhaps means he was the last surviving member of Reuven Margolis. It's a different approach. He was the last member of the Sanhedrin to have been voted in by members of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. Be that as it may, Shimon HaTzadik was one of the Balei HaMasorah from the beginning of the Bayesheni period and a Kohen. And during his 40 years as a Kohen Gadol, the Braisa says many, many Nisim happened. And after he passed away, things went from bad to worse. And we know from elsewhere in Maseches Yuma, from the Mishnayos, over the course of the Bayesheni period, the Kohen Gadol was not always a big tzaddik. Strange though it sounds. Kohen Gadol is supposed to be Gadol Me'echav. He's supposed to be the leader, the spiritual leader in many ways of a Klal Yisrael. But over the course of the Bayesheni period, often the Kohanim Gadolim were caught up in apikursas. There were points when the Romans were appointing who the Kohen Gadol would be. It became a political position, a political appointment. It was not based on who's the greatest tzaddik and who's the biggest hamachacham and who's the holiest Kohen. At times, the Romans even appointed people who weren't even Kohanim. So the Kohuna Gadola was not always ideal over the course of the Bayesheni period. Such was the reality. It's not what it was supposed to be, but that's just what happened. But there, the Shimon HaTzadik was an incredible tzaddik. So the Braisa described the days of Shimon HaTzadik, the old is Nisim, but Mishamei Shimon HaTzadik, once Shimon HaTzadik passed away, the Nisim didn't always happen because the Jews didn't always deserve, and the Kohen Gadol didn't necessarily deserve these Nisim. Let's take a look at the end. You have Yuma Labates Amud Aleph, either you have the Gemara or you have in the Maram Kamos. Bryce has a long list of during his days, the Nisan that would happen afterwards, not. They talk about the Goral on Yom Kippur, they talk about the fire on the Mizbeach, in the days of Shimon HaTzadik, the fire on the top of the Mizbeach was miraculous. It was a heavenly fire. There's a mitzvah to feed the fire every day, so they would put on two pieces of wood to mekayim the mitzvah. But they didn't need to. It was a roaring fire, miraculously roaring fire all the time. And after Shimon HaTzadik was done, if you've ever made a bonfire, you know how come Esther was zeichet to 127 medinas? How come Esther was zeichet to 127 medinas?
Every minute,
so No. And remember? How come Esther was Zeichet 127 Medinas?
Because one of the Imals used all her years.
Because Sarah lived for 127 years. And why do I say that? Because I feel great. Because Rabbi Akiva, now I feel like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest Balei Masorah, one time he looked around, and the Talmidim were all sleeping. So I'm not as chashish as Rabbi Akiva, so half the chavurah is still awake. Only half the chavurah sleep. And then I get ben zeichet to the madriga Rebbe Akiva. That's what Rebbe Akiva said. Okay.
I think it's the closest to Rosh Hashanah point to know that the reason he asked that specific question was to show that each year counts.
You know, oh. 10% of the, yeah. Gewaldic.
Each minute was one city.
So in the days of Shimon HaTzadik, they said Nisim occurred. The fire on the Mizbeach was Nisim. They said to Mekayim the din of putting wood on the Mizbeach. To Mekayim the din. But after he passed away, anyone who's ever tended to a campfire knows that if you don't feed the fire, it goes out. It dies out. So that's after Shimon HaTzadik. They were feeding the fire all day long. They were adding wood to the fire on the Mizbeach to keep a billowing fire going. And then take a look at the barn. Please take a look inside. V'nishtalcha bracha, the end of the fifth to last line, let me tell someone else. V'nishtalcha bracha b'yomer, shay lechem v'lecha aponim. During the days of Shemat Tzadik, there was a divine, miraculous bracha in the Korban HaOmer of Pesach, the Shtei Lechem of Shavuos, and the Lechem HaPanim of every Shabbos. And the Chol Koy Magil Kezayis, Shemagil Kezayis, every Koy who got a Kezayis, Rabbi said Kezayis is not a big amount. We have a lot of Chumras to Leil HaSeder. The Pashto says the Kezayis is the size of an olive. You've all seen olives. Olives are smaller than what you've seen, because the olives that are sold as olives to eat, table olives, they tend to sell the larger size as table olives, and the smaller ones get used industrially to make olive oil and other things. The same with eggs. Our sense of a kibbetzah is a little bit large, because we only buy, if you ever look at a package of eggs in the supermarket, so it's large or extra large or jumbo. Not... There are small eggs and medium eggs and extra small eggs also. Those get used to make mayonnaise. Those get used in the bakery. So you think what an olive looks like. Pasha, we have a chumras on Pesach, but Pasha, an olive is, an olive. Kezayis. So a kohen would get a kezayis in the days of Shimon HaTzadik? A kezayis. That's nothing. Yesh ochul v'saveh, yesh ochul mosir. Some would say they eat kezayis, they're full. And some would, they couldn't even finish the kezayis. They were already full from half a kezayis. Like the mice of the kust of the Rebbe. The bavus, the mice of the kust of the Rebbe. But this is the Gemara. The days of Shimon HaTzadik. That was a nes in Beis HaMikdash. In the days of Shimon HaTzadik. Mikan ve'elach. But once Shimon HaTzadik passed away, and in later decades and centuries of the Bayis Sheni, when the spiritual level degraded, nishtalcha me'era, instead of a bracha, instead of a blessing, there was a curse. And me'era, the omer shalecha lachapanim, v'chol koi magia kapul. And a koi would no longer get a full kezayis. A koi would just get the size of a bean, which apparently is smaller. Hatznu in moshkes yideim. So the people who were mortzniistic, they would just step back, and they wouldn't try to get. How come? Rashi says, "Me'achas shero she'ena masbia." They saw it was no longer back in the old days. Shimon HaTzadik, you ate a kezayis, you were full. That was lunch. A kezayis of lecha panim. That was your Shabbos suda. But a kezayis of she'alechem. That was your Shavuos suda. Gevaldik. And now they saw lachar misa Shimon HaTzadik. You're no longer full. Rashi says you didn't have this miracle of the bracha b'isa, so the tzinnum weren't interested. Tzinnum moshkes yideim. Hagargaranim, the people who were gluttons, who always wanted the guys who always grabbed for more food, notklim v'yolchum. They would try to chop as much as they could, presumably so they could fill up. The Gemara even says there was one fellow who actually chopped doubles, and they gave him a hard time for it. Called Ben Chamtzan. They called him the chopper, because he took doubles before everyone else got singles. So that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara in Yuma. Daf Lama Tes. So the first thing that strikes, the first thing you ask, is how you understand our Gemara, Bosa. In light of that Brisa, the bottom of Lama Tes, Daman Aleph and Yuma, the first question to ask yourself is, when did our Gemara happen? When did our Gemara happen? During what era? Our Gemara says one coin gets a kapul, one coin gets a kezayis, one coin gets what he refers to inappropriately as kiznav halata. So we're not exactly sure, not sure what size lizard we're talking about. But we do know that one got a kapul, another one got a kezayis. So in the Tosfos Yeshayahu, it sounds like they're assuming that this was after. Yeah, this was after Shimon HaTzadik. It's hard to know. It sounds like beforehand, everyone got a kezayis.
Yeah, so you wouldn't say you
Really? No. Nishtalcha me'era she'eno masbio. Chol koi she'magio kapul she'eno kazayis. Me'ach she'ro she'eno masbio. If you didn't get a kazayis, if you only got a kapul.
Me'ach she'ro she'eno masbio. Meaning that before the kapul was masbio.
No. Kol ma'kol magio kapul she'eno kazayis. Me'ach she'ro she'eno masbio. Hatznu mochshin zidayim. Right, well, you're right. The Rashi goes on to say, "We may Shimon as mishemagia kapolohoy moshchindet." Oh, you're right. So Rashi says, in the days of Shimon Atzadik, they even if you got a kapol, you would still be okay with that, and you would get whatever you could get. Okay, so you're saying Rashi sounds like maybe our Gemara is in the days of Shimon Atzadik. This one got a kapol, now I got a kazais, and everyone's happy. Everyone's happy. Now, the Gemara in Yuma doesn't make it clear that different people got different amounts simultaneously. Our Gemara does. So the Minchas Chinuch has a question. Minchas Chinuch wonders, how is it possible different people got different amounts? How is it possible different people get different amounts? Didn't they divide things equally? How come this guy gets a kazayas, this guy gets a kapul? What's going on? So it could be there was the issue of people grabbing more. The Mikdash David, or David Rappaport, who was a Baki Niflin Kutchim, who was a Magid Shir in... he was hired as a Magid Shir in Melchan's Yeshiva in Baranovich. They saw his sefer, they were so taken by his first sefer, that they hired him sight unseen. There was no Zoom interviews in the 20s in Europe. They had him sight unseen to be a Magid Shir. He showed up. They discovered A, he was single, and B, he had a terrible stutter. And I think Rabbi Drillman, who had been a Rosh Yeshiva here in YU until 20, 30 years ago, had learned to Baranovich. Rabbi Drillman apparently was the one who had taken the notes of Rukhan Shurim that became Kovet Shurim Beitza. He said he remembered that Rabbi David Rappaport came to Yeshiva and it was very, very hard to understand him. But guys worked to a terrible stutter, but it was worth the guys worked to understand him because he had a lot to offer. And they invested. So we have from the primary Masor we have from the Rappaport, Mikdash David, the big, big svarim, major svarim on Zoram Kachem and Taras. So he has a very clever solution. He says, you know why one guy gets a kapul and another gets a kazayas? It's because we said before they divided among the two mishmaros. So they gave this many loaves to this mishmar, that many loaves to that mishmar. So within each mishmar they were divided evenly. But who says the two different mishmaros are of the same size? So b'meila, that's why one guy is saying he's getting kapul, another guy is saying he's getting kazayis, and that's the simple solution. Which highlights, by the way, the fact that whoever's the guy, third guy who said kaznav halata'a, he could have either said kazayis or kapul. Because what he got was either kazayis or kapul. Either it was from this mishmar or from that mishmar, which part of what makes it so striking and so inappropriate. You could have used normal terminology, and you chose instead to dafke use something disparaging. But the core of what's really going on here, and let me open up the question, which we're going to have to continue with this, is I understand. I have a chance to come to Yeshiva and learn Torah. Galt! Amazing. An amazing mitzvah. The fellow says, well, I'm going to have to leave early. I'm going to have to leave Shir 10 minutes early today. I know I'm going to have to leave Shir 10 minutes early, so I may as well not come and learn at all. What's the point? I'm not going to get a full Shir. Is that appropriate? No. You have a chance to learn, you learn. The fellow says, I can come to Mishachris, but I know I have to catch a plane, I have to catch a train, I'm going to need to leave in the middle of Ashrei Velotzin. It's the only way I can, the earliest minyan, I'm still going to need to leave in the middle of Ashrei Velotzin to make my train. So should he not come to shul at all? Of course he should. You chop whatever you can chop. So, what do you mean, Hatznu and Moshe Nesidehim? They could have got a kapul, Rashi says. They weren't going to get a kazayas. So isn't there a mitzvah of achilas kachim? You take a look at the marmakamas you have in front of you. You take a look at the marmakamas you have in front of you. Here's a sefer achinuch. So the chinuch in mitzvah vav talks about the special mitzvah of eating the basar hakorban. But then the Minchas Chinuch and the Mitzvah Kuv Beis, later in Parashat Tisavah, says this is a mitzvah to eat kachah. Kohen, we learned the other week, Kohanim get to eat the Basar kachah kachim, and that's a mitzvah. Mitzvah Zachil is Basar Chatzas V'yashem. Nitztavu HaKohenim L'achol Basar Ketzas V'na Karbaz Ketzas V'yashem. It's a mitzvah Zachila. In Parashat Tisav, Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Dalet, and mitzvah to eat the Menachas. Nitztavu HaKohenim L'achol Shari HaMenachas. You take the comets, you burn the comets, and the rest, a coin has a mitzvah to eat. A coin has a mitzvah to eat. The Sefer HaChinuch didn't make it up. Sefer HaChinuch always, and his count of the Targum Mitzvahs always follows the Rambam. You can take a look at the Rambam, the beginning of the 10th parak of Masar Karbanos. The Rambam says explicitly, a mitzvah to eat the meat of Karbanos, a mitzvah to eat the grain-based Karbanos, Shiari Menachas. When you have a chance to do a mitzvah. Well, it's snu moshe sidayim. It's a striking and strange gemara. It's snu and moshe sidayim. That's snu and moshe sidayim. So you understand that. How do you understand this gemara? Gemara and Yuma. We don't understand it. We don't understand it. The Minchas Chinuch. The Rashi had just said that the reason why Kol Kohen She'im Magil Kapul, he's not satisfied. He's not satisfied. The bottom line in Rashi. But you look at the Tosis Yishanim, he already starts talking about. Take a look. The second to last line of Tosis Yishanim. She sees She Magil near the bottom, right over here. Shemagio. Kol kohen shemagio kipul hatznu and moshkin yedeim. Omer Rebbe. The Tosafot Yeshayahu quotes as Rebbe, probably the Re. Davka megio kipul. Aval b'kazayis lo moshkin yedeim. They wouldn't have gotten a kazayis, they would have made sure to get their hands on a kazayis. But they knew they weren't going to get a kazayis anyways. They knew there was nishtalcha me'era, and people were just getting a kipul. The Kazayas are emotionally dead. They could have got Kazayas and they would have sorted out. Why? Ki dimu l'kayim mitzvah achila. Because they want to be kayim mitzvah achila. He says, but kanloayim mitzvah achila gamri. It wasn't a complete mitzvah achila. She'ein shan ela kapul. V'lo hayu sevein. He says, well, they only got a kapul. So that's not a kazayas. And the Minchas Chinuch, as a matter of fact, in Kuf Lamed Dalet, gets very excited about, so we know there's the idea of chatzi shir by Isurim. You're not allowed to eat bas b'chol of a kazayas bas b'chol. You can't even eat less than a kazayas bas b'chol. You'll get the onish, but still not there. Gemara at the beginning of the last parak of Yuma, I'm sure you've seen. The chatzi shir b'yach, we pass like a b'yachon, chatzi shir osur min ha-Torah. This is the right to eat even less than a kazayis of something not kosher. So Michas Chinuch wants to know, how about mitzvahs? Is there a mitzvah to eat chatzi shir of a mitzvah? I don't have a full kazayis of matzah. Is there the same way there's a partial avera in eating less than a kazayis of nevela, is there a partial mitzvah eating less than a kazayis of matzah, less than a kazayis of mar. So Minchas Chinuch says, I have an answer. The answer is no. And the proof is our sugya. Tosi Shadim says, look, if they would have gotten a kazayis, they would have jumped for it. But because they were only getting a kippul, it's less than a kazayis. It's not a mitzvah. So, shine, done. Done. You're not going to have a mitzvah anyways. So what am I bothering? I'm not going to have a mitzvah. I'm not going to have a mitzvah. Yeah. The problem is, the Tosh Hashanah goes on to say, what about the Pesachim Daf Gimel? Take a look at Tosh Hashanah. Tosh Hashanah in Yuma. On the bottom of the page. So, but sometimes they got a kippul and they were happy. Our Gemara. Eich mekayma, mitzvah zachila. So Zahir said, our Gemara, one gets a kazayis and one gets a kippul, and they are having the kippul. So there is a mitzvah. Yeshlom adol boy kazayis lagamrei ela kazayis adif. Well, you don't need a kazayis, but kazayis is better. What does that mean? It's better. It is a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, so let people have kazayisim. If it is a mitzvah, so then why wouldn't you want to seize? Why wouldn't you want to seize the mitzvah?
You're so bad.
What?
You're so bad.
Oh. And what does sevi have to do with the mitzvah? So Minchas Chinuch is very bothered. Astira. It is a chatish, it is a mitzvah, it is not a mitzvah. I'll leave with the Beis HaLevi, Rabbi Yisai. I'll leave with the Beis HaLevi. Along Beis HaLevi, it's in the Maamar Kamos, he has a lot to say. There's much to say about the Beis HaLevi, but let me leave you with the nugget. Beis HaLevi says, there are two levels of Briska, of Chaim's father. Beis HaLevi says, there are two levels to the mitzvah Chiyos Chatcha. He says, it has to get eaten, and there's a mitzvah to eat it. What does the Tosfos Shem say? Well, there is a mitzvah even less, but it's more if it's more. Beis Levi says it's very simple. The carbon has to get eaten. That's a mitzvah. And there's also a mitzvah to eat karbonis. Achilas kachim, like any achila, means a kazayis. So, but it also has to get done. Even if everyone eats less than kazayis, if the carbon gets done, that itself is a mitzvah. Says the Beis Levi, so if you get a piece to eat, even if you're not doing a ma'isa achila, but you're seeing to it that the korban is eaten. So if everyone's behaving and there are no gargaronim, and you get a kazayis, I eat less than kazayis, so you'll eat your kazayis, I'll eat my chatzi kazayis, and the korban will be finished off. And my eating a kippul, my eating less than kazayis, will still contribute towards the consumption of the korban, the chiyav totzah. The mitzvah chalais, even if it's not a pu'ula, a ma'is of achila. However, says the Beis HaLevi, the Gemara in Yuma is describing a case where there are people with poor midos. So they're all grabbing. Of course there's value to eating a kippul because you're helping to get the carbon consumed. But should I grab for it? Absolutely not. Because kippul is only making sure that the job gets done. So if I can just watch and make sure that the gargaronim get it eaten, that's the same as eating a kippul. The mitzvah of ma'is achila, that only happens if you have a kazayis. To eat less than a kazayis is just contributing towards the goal, the chovas totzah, that the carbon is nachal. I can do that by eating kippul myself, or by just observing and making sure that the carbon gets eaten. And that's the solution of our Gemara and the Gemara in Yemas.